on the ground in Ukraine. Hey, Pete, how you doing, man?
Good. How you doing, Todd?
Oh, man, it's busy, you know, on a train all night to D.C. and getting up. And they make these briefings. You got to be at the Pentagon like at 6:30. So
wow.
if you're somewhere else, it's a long road to hoe to get there, man. But anyway, it's all good.
What's the word in the press room? I mean, for specifically coverage, because I'm going to kind of talk about that. Iran, we've already, you know, it's been a central theme of all our coverage of Ukraine, but it's happening again in Iran, where we're turning into a propaganda war as much as a kinetic war.
No, I agree with you. And look, I mean, there's the legacy press corps is very unhappy of being kicked out. There's been a press or a court case in their favor, so the Pentagon has kind of adjusted things. You've got the new press people like me up front, and then you've got the legacy people in the back. They don't get asked many questions. They scream out. So there's that whole dynamic going on. And there's definitely an info war there. I would say all of the journalists in the new press corps are very, responsible and professional and ask tough questions. But they're not out to destroy the country. I think that's the difference.
Wow.
And I think it's good so far. I would like to be called on more. But, hey, you know, I can't have everything I want. So.
Wow.
He's called on me a few times, but anyway, so hope I answered your question, but I've got links, videos, and PDFs here that we can throw up. So let's talk about Iran first. Where do you see, I have my view, but where do you see things at the moment?
Well, again, it's hard to give a accurate assessment, because of what's happened. I pay a special attention to what's coming out about what the Iranians are doing and their missile and drone attacks on the rest of the Middle East. And it's really hard to figure out what's going on because the propaganda is so thick and overwhelming. It's hard to fathom. It's kind of a good time to step back and recognize the same thing we've talked about before with Ukraine. You know, every rogue nation on the planet, to include and especially Iran, has studied the political hijinks and insanity in the U.S. That's occurred since 2016. And each country has learned a lot about what the same thing we, the people, have learned, which is, the incredible fact that we have this seditious collusion between government agencies, a political party, and of course their proxy foot soldiers, the globalist MSN. And, you know, Iran, remember that Iran, it's 46 years now, we're the great Satan, we have been their enemy. They've studied us through one lens, how to manipulate us. And they not only learned about, you know, how to do that, from watching, as I said, since 2016, to include what's happened with the Ukraine war, they've also established long-term relationships with members of that same triad I talked about. Don't forget, John Kerry is still in hot water for potential violations of the Logan Act, for going around and visiting Iran during President Trump's first administration. He maintained that communication during the Biden administration. There was open communication, as well as the press corps. The New York Times and the Washington Post both have deep-seated relationships with Iran. So, you know, it makes it really difficult to understand what battle damage assessment reality is really taking place in Iran, and whether what we're hearing from Iran is, the Wizard of Oz again, the guy behind the curtain, or, you know, they actually still have a formidable infrastructure in place that's capable of doing damage in the Middle East. So, I know we've got some videos up there. It's probably good to show some of the propaganda. And if you pay attention again to New York Times and Washington Post, you're going to think Iran's winning, and they're definitely not winning. I think On the American side, I'd say the same thing we said last time, that Hegseth and the Department of Defense needs to do a little bit better job of talking about purpose and how that purpose aligns with each day's kinetic strikes or each week's, however they want to do it. But the purpose has got to be better defined. And I bring that up because I have contacts, both Arab contacts in the Middle East, and I have buddies who have been working there for years, are still there now in UAE, Kuwait, and Saudi Arabia. And it's what we're hearing is completely different. The BDA, the bomb damage assessment from some of these attacks in these countries is way over exaggerated by the Iranians and by the global MSM press corps. So
let me jump in there real quick. I too agree with you on the press briefing this morning. It's way too rah, we're killing everybody. You know, right. We're doing great. It needs to be, okay, we're here to degrade their military capability. Here's what we've done today. And I don't want to hear body counts or number of missions flown. I want to hear, you know, how many drones they got left. And of course they can't say that, but the issue I have is you had this E3, a $500 million airplane destroyed on the ramp in Saudi. To me, that's unacceptable. You can't leave a $500 million aircraft on the ramp under the threat of that kind of drone attack. You just can't. And so I have a problem with that in our learning curve. We had drones over the top of Barksdale Air Force Base this week while B-52s were doing live launches, and they interfered with the launches. That is completely unacceptable. And I'm trying to force some kind of accountability and reckoning within the Pentagon. And I wish Hegseth would have called on me. So I agree with you. There needs to be more, I don't want to say professional, but less propagandistic, maybe, press briefings. But I do believe that the legacy media and the international media is overestimating the Iranian capabilities. They still have some drones and missiles left. Obviously, they're still hitting our troops, but it's not what it was, and it's being degraded, and the hits are being overemphasized. Back to you.
Yeah. No, it's a really good way to put it. And part of what DOD can do, or DOW can do, is just expose that propaganda. Show, hey, they said this happened. Here's the actual video of what happened. Yeah. Here's the damage. They said this happened. It didn't happen. Here's the actual aircraft. And I agree with you. It's the same thing on the initial attacks on some of these bases. They were not hardened sites. And, you know, there's plenty of bunkers, but, you know, the initial attacks, I think DOD was a little bit flat-footed in some of these Arab countries. So, you know, again, it's what's important to understand on the other side and from the globalist MSM is we're just seeing the war through a pure propaganda PSYOP lens. And it's pure because just like Ukraine, there's no ground reporting or reports. There's no reporting from the real center of gravity in this thing, which is another thing I'd like to hear the Department of War talk about, which is the Iranian people. And, you know, what are we doing focused on the Iranian people? You know, let's talk about why we're not hearing anything. The Iranian internet is now going on 1,000 hours of blacked out time. There's foreign journalists are not just restricted, they're not allowed in Iran. Most reporting is local IP proxy connection or satellites. But of course, you know, the thought police are all over that. You can be hung for having a VPN on your computer. So, you know, there's bread lines. I did some research and pulled together some social media posts and whatnot. And most reporting is from those IP local proxy reports or satellites. And it's misery exacerbated by the murderous thought police who have iron control over the people and who are against them. Do we have that video, Todd, of the guys driving through
I've got everything you sent, which I have most, the first like eight or nine were links, and then there was several videos.
Yeah. Yeah. You can show some of the propaganda first. I think there's a Washington Post, a New York Times, and then we're going to go to it.
All right, here we go. This is the Washington Post.
Yeah. So it's just Washington Post saying landmines appear, images, Iran images appear to show landmines scattered by U.S. forces, a first in years. And there's one giant anti-tank mine in the middle there, which we don't, you know, it is capable to send an anti-tank mine through a missile, but they're thinking of cluster munitions. This is just pure propaganda. And
They don't know what they're talking about.
Right, and the landmine's a joke. It's not even buried. It's on its side. So,
have you been over there scattering landmines, Pete? Is that what you're
Yeah, exactly. Scattering, and then who puts a landmine in a hole? It's an anti-tank mine. You put that on a road. Yeah. So I think we got a few more. And
sure. Here we go.
They're all just as insane. This one, I just love the headline. The New York Times admits Iran rendered virtually all U.S. Gulf bases uninhabitable. So as if they had to force that out of the New York Times, as if there's no way the New York Times is going to say that the U.S. suffered damage at its bases. They're too loyal. But this is what you have. And this is what, you know, there's two focus groups of the propaganda. One is U.S. citizens, the other is international citizens. And this one, to me, goes toward both. But the bases are not uninhabitable. You pointed out they're scrambling to adapt to the new reality. But all the bases, you know, had minor damage. Radar sites were hit initially in those first volleys. But none of the bases are uninhabitable. In any of the countries that we've talked about, Kuwait, Iran, or Iraq, UAE, or Bahrain. And here's then this one. Yeah, same thing. U.S. forced U.S. troops to work remotely. And when you read it, it's bizarre beyond belief. It's like they think it's like they repurposed an article from COVID and used it here. You know, U.S. troops are not, there's no such thing as working remotely, but they have all the same things that the corporate world has. There's Outlook on every guy in the military's computer, and it's open, it's non-secure Outlook. You do your admin stuff whenever you travel. You know, there are individuals who are coming in to replace special individuals in all the countries I mentioned. And the most efficient way many times to get them in country is fly in calm air. So, you know, I expect that, or suspect, the New York Times talked to someone who was working out of a hotel lobby on their computer. That's not fighting the war. The war is done in tactical operation centers and joint operation centers. And those have to be dispersed. You know, again, the new reality, you have to adapt to drone warfare. And in this case, also ballistic missile warfare.
You're saying the guy was like putting his leave request in on his laptop in the hotel. And the New York Times says the U.S. military has to work remotely.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. So it's as far-fetched as can get, but you can clearly see that they're scraping the bottom of the barrel to get anything to make it look like the U.S. is, you know, on its hind legs. So this is, if you can blow this up, this is a really good video. Yes. Yeah, see if you can enlarge it.
Let me try.
This was snuck out of Iran. This is inside Iran. This force you're looking at is not a force to fight against invading Israelis or U.S. This is the thought police. They're riding around towns to discourage any thought of bringing back the protests. But that's, do you see the guns? Did you see they had the women's, they with weapons, the guys in the back on the scooters, This is the murderous thought police, and Iran is leading by coercion. And what I like about this video is it's a good time to say what needs to be said constantly out loud. The Iranian people are not the enemy. The totalitarian theocracy that controls Iran is the enemy. They're the enemy because they bankrolled almost every terrorist organization in the Middle East and every terrorist act for at least the last 26 years. And that's what they do, and that cannot be forgotten. But mostly, we have to remember the Iranian people. They are the biggest victims of this, and that's a leaked video that you would see if there was any semblance of open source reporting in Iran.
Right. That's a fantastic find, Pete. That's great.
Yeah. So this is just to go back to kind of what we talked about last week, what's happening, why these strikes are so accurate. The patterns of life are the patterns of nature, patterns of human nature, and patterns of history. And they combine to create the context of the moment. So once you recognize the patterns that inform the nature of your enemy, basically your enemy's toast.
Historic announcement. We have such a great cultural fit as companies. So we're very, very excited to be Embraer's newest customer. We launched our airline in April of 21. And our target is focusing on small secondary airports of large metro areas. We've carried over 8 million customers since we started on 63,000 flights. And we've done all these things with 1,200 of the greatest crew members I could ever imagine having. And many of them are here with me today. This is the right airplane for us. It's going to open up opportunities for us that no other aircraft can serve. The best thing about the airplane, of course, is you will not find a middle seat on this airplane. It doesn't exist. We won't have any to offer. It's going to be the best cabin in the United States, and we're so excited about that. This is going to elevate our experience to the highest level, and we think our customers are absolutely going to love the airplane.
Life-saving medications like ivermectin, Z-Pak, and antibiotics. Stock them before they block them.
This is tough, but your finances don't have to be. I'm David Cross, and I'm a certified divorce financial analyst practitioner. My job is to help you get a fair financial settlement in your divorce and to guide you to smarter money decisions. Find out how we can help you. U.S. Asset Management. It's your money. Your
first. You can do whatever you want. You can get ahead of their decision loop. And that's what's happened in Iran. And it's a big reason why things have been so successful and why they still are able to continue attriting the key members of the Iranian Guard forces. The other thing I want to say about this is, you know, a lot of the success of this is due to the Israelis. And one of the lessons of the Israeli intelligence success is their long-term patience, their long-term coherence of purpose. And I bring that out because it's something that we should very much be talking about in the U.S. We have a problem with our intel agencies, a severe problem, a crippling problem, where there is no coherence of purpose. Whatever they were doing during the Bush administration was completely upended when Obama took over. And then when Trump took over from Obama, everything changed again. Then Biden came back, flipped it on its head again, stopped programs that made total sense for both organizations, for both administrations. But they just can't get through their head that intelligence has to be for the greater good of the country, cannot have any politics, and it requires this long-term coherence of purpose, or you're never going to get the kind of success we're seeing in Iran right now.
Good point, Pete. All right. So I think the next one is Ukraine. But go ahead.
Yeah, let's move to Ukraine real quick. And Ukraine is just, you can show so phone intercepts, if anyone missed this, between officials in Ukraine Tulsi Gabbard uncovered this last week, and USAID workers conspiring to funnel $200 million, which was already sent to Ukraine by the U.S. government, in order to turn it back around and bring it back to Biden's campaign in 2024.
Let me jump in there, because I actually met with NABU, the National Anti-Corruption Bureau in Ukraine, back in 2016, or approximately. And that's a Soros organization. They were actually working with Hillary Clinton against Trump, and they put out fake information on Paul Manafort, the Trump campaign manager. I'm not saying this didn't happen, but what I am saying is, if they're releasing this, it's kind
they're
of a
not, limited... Todd. This is okay. This is not NABU. This came from NSA. This was okay. In our NSA messages. Tulsi Gabbard uncovered this.
I thought I saw it.
It's NABU. A phone okay. intercept. No, phone intercept by NSA between okay. Ukrainian government officials and USAID. Okay. This is there's going to be a treasure trove of these. But this is the smoking gun, and they're on it. They're pulling the strings to look at all the prosecutorial potential of it, which is plenty. This shows.
I guess my point is that if they're bringing this has all been out there for years, so they're bringing it out now for a reason. That's my only point. And maybe it's to the point where the public can accept it, or I don't know. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't know either. But different. So, you know, also the $100 billion NABU thing was what went on a few months back. And of course, that is probably just the tip of the iceberg, too. They probably said 100 million when it was a billion. But this comes from NSA. This was just uncovered. John Solomon's covering it in the U.S. And it's, you know, it just proves what we've been saying the whole time, that, you know, the Ukraine war, Americans were forced to bankroll a war with zero transparency and a relentless emotional blackmail and no tolerance for dissent, just so they could turn that money around and put it into Democratic coffers. And this is not just the U.S. This is the EU, too. So if you I think the next slide up there is the Spanish this from Spain.
It's so, actually Orban. Do you want that one?
Yeah, you could show Orban because it's good credibility. Orban's just coming out saying the same thing now, but he's reinforcing that this was used, you know, as a money laundering operation to support democratic elections in the United States. And folks, don't just think the presidential campaign. We're talking about all the way down to the district attorney level, this money being distributed. So it is the tip of the iceberg for what should be, you know, prosecutorial evidence of what they were doing and why we saw this bizarre obstinance, not only among Democratic leaders. Senator Murphy from Connecticut is still harping about how we need to support and stop talking about corruption and start doubling down on our support for Ukraine.
Well, do you remember that scene with them all, the whole Congress waving Ukrainian flags? I mean, in the Congress, I mean, that was obviously, they're like, yeah, we got the money. It's coming.
Yeah. I mean, and so we've never seen that before. What was driving that? And we're now realizing it. And, you know, we've also said, and we've shown evidence, the censorship industrial complex is there too, but it's money laundering and censorship industrial complex. And most of these leaders in both the EU and the Democratic Party in the US know they can't win in the future without this support, because it became a crutch. It became the crutch they leaned on. And it's all but gone right now, as long as we continue to stay on these stories. So
I'll
I think
the
next
Spain one.
Yeah.
Up
and I just chose Spain because this is every EU country. So here is the socialist prime minister of Spain, you know, in a press conference last week with Zelensky, promising more missiles, Patriot systems, talking tough. And then just go to the next one we have from Spain, which is, so Spain closes its airspace to the USA. So why do we have this, you know, Jekyll and Hyde, one side that's warmongering, rah-rah, we'll give you whatever you want, and the other side that takes this, this stand where we don't support you in a war, even though you're a NATO ally, in a war in any other way. And this is just a small example of it. This crazy support for Ukraine is for their own good. It has nothing to do with the Ukrainians. And as we pointed out, it's absolutely heartless because it's Ukrainian patriots who are dying every day, along with Russian patriots, but more Ukrainians, because they want to hold on to this treasure trove of illegal money and the ability.
It's a whole bunch of things. It's money, it's political censorship, it's money laundering, it's organ harvesting, it's bioweapons. I mean, there's a whole laundry list of stuff they're doing over there. So
yeah, yep.
The next one is, I've got two videos. So I have this slide, but then I have the two videos to go with it. So
yeah, this just shows they've gone, there's no more, you can't have papers, you can't have exception to policy. Every male between 18 and 60 is being policed up and thrown into the military. And this is just a shot. There's only one mechanic in this whole garage. And they came in and with an overwhelming force and grabbed this guy and took him out. And at the same time, the EU, other EU countries have had enough. There are barely any males left in Ukraine between 18 and 60 who aren't in the military because they're all fleeing to neighboring countries. And then once they get to those neighboring countries, they're putting down roots. And so you're seeing Norway is the third or fourth of many of these countries that have said, we're not taking any more Ukrainians. Yeah. We're going to start sending them back. They're actually helping Zelensky by sending them back. They'll be grabbed right at the border and thrown back into forced conscription.
I mean, they want to send them there for this, to get the manpower.
And on the battlefield, it's the same thing. Ukraine's just running out of men. They cannot. Russia's taking the slow probing approach. Zaporizhia, they're very close to Zaporizhia right now, which to me will be a massive loss if it goes down in the near future. And they just don't have the men. They can't put enough people on the front lines to protect in all directions. And that's what you're seeing, that desperation. But it's not being seen by the EU leaders or American neocons who want to keep the war going, despite what's happening, this humanitarian crisis in Ukraine.
Well, let's play these two videos just so people can see it. Here we go. This is the auto shop.
Yep. And just look at all these guys, you know, why don't you put some of these guys on the front lines?
No kidding.
There must be 10 to 15 of them. They're looking at his papers. I think he has an exception, the policy for something, but those no longer work. Look at, they're still filing in there.
They want these guys.
Yeah.
They want the bodies.
And they're going to grab him eventually. You can go to the next one, Todd, because it's just another beat down again. And you look at the overwhelming force. They've adapted to these civilians preventing them from grabbing people by just sending larger parties out to force the conscription. But you see the women again, and notice that it's all women walking around. So yeah. You know, to survive you gotta flee, and most of the men are gone or in total hiding right now.
All right, so I'm gonna pull that down. This is one where people are fighting back. I've got one I'm gonna throw in here, Pete. This is interesting. So they block the road and they come in to get this guy in his car. And you talk about people trying to fight back. So he takes things into his own hands here.
Wow.
Anyway, kind of crazy.
Yeah.
You do what you got to do, man.
Yep. So, you know, that's kind of it for today. It's just, again, on Iran, be careful what you believe. The U.S. can definitely do a better job of connecting actions with purpose. I've been told that one of the reasons President Trump kind of got ahead of himself talking about we've already won and we can leave anytime is it's similar to what we saw in Venezuela. Some of the objectives that were accomplished, they are not talking about some of the things that were destroyed, some of the individuals who were either killed or captured, they're not talking about. And part of that, I have also been told, shows the collusion with Western governments and Western government agencies. So more to follow on that, but be very careful about what you believe. Look for multiple sourcing on everything. Give the benefit of the doubt to this administration. Iran is not winning, but they do need to do a better job on, as we talked about, connecting purpose with action.
Pete, thank you very much. People love you, appreciate it, and we'll see you next week.
All right, Todd, take care.
Take care.